are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Is the resurrection of Jesus Christ just a story or a historical fact? I promise I'm not going to get fired because of this conversation that we're about to have. But skeptics and believers alike have debated this question for centuries. So let's dig into the evidence, both biblical and historical, that points to the resurrection as an actual event. He rose. Exploring why it remains one of the most compelling claims in human history. And we are joined by my elder Rogers, Nyaneti. Rogers is going to be helping us with this one. So before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
I do the prayer?
Yes, please.
Thank you. We come before you, God, this time of the day. We thank you because of your mercies upon us, which are new every day, every morning. And at this time, Lord, as we delve into your word, we pray that you forgive us where we have gone against you, that your blessings can flow our way and necessitate us to understand your will. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen indeed. Mudala, we're speaking about all things the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Is it, did it really happen when we were not there? Or it's just fiction? We do not know, but you're going to be assisting us with that one, right? Do we have any, what historical evidence outside of the Bible that we have that supports the resurrection of Jesus? Or we can only find it only in the Bible?
Thank you. You've mentioned the historical evidences, maybe outside the Bible, of the resurrection of Jesus. And as we all know, by faith, of course, we believe this happened. And beyond that, we've seen it documented in the Bible. And now we are going to see maybe outside the Bible. Possibly there is one who could not be knowing that it's not even in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And the crucifixion of Jesus is the foundation event in every Christian's life. And it has been a top topic of discussion and debate for quite some time now. And maybe from this perspective, that is the historical, the question of whether this happened or not has been a contentious thing in these circles of discussion. So here, maybe we can look at it. When you look at the scriptural references we have, it's recorded. It's recorded all over, especially in the gospel books, the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 32. To 44 describes how the soldiers cast lots for Jesus' garments. We covered that even in our past lesson, the book of Mark, chapter 15, verse 21 to 41. You talk of the mockery, you talk of the crowd, you talk of the two men alongside Jesus who are also mentioned. Talk of the tearing of the temple curtain, talk of the events leading to his death. John chapter 19, from verse 16 to 30, it's a detailed account of the crucifixion. Talk of the inscription which was done above Jesus' head. Talk of the drinking of the vinegar. Talk of the piercing of Jesus' side. This is a detailed account giving out the crucifixion. But now we are talking of the resurrection and maybe the sources we could be having. Maybe we can begin here. There are sources like the Jewish sources, yes, which provide additional evidence for what the Bible mentions. We have the Babylonians, we have the Roman side, which gives also the such evidences about that description. Let me begin with this. Okay. There is the Pontius Pilate inscription, which was discovered in 1961 during the excavations at Caesarea Maritima. This is an ancient Roman city on the Mediterranean coast of Israel. So this inscription is a block of limestone with a dedicatory text that mentions the name of Pontius Pilate, who was the Roman prefect of Judea at the time of Jesus' crucifixion. And the inscription is written in Latin, but it reads in English, Pontius Pilate, prefect of Judea, has dedicated to the people of Caesarea a temple in honor of Tiberias. So this discovery, madam, of this artifact provided a significant evidence for the existence of Pilate. And it confirmed details about his role as a Roman official in the region during the time of Jesus. So the inscription is now on display at the Israel Museum in Jerusalem. So when we have something tangible about Pilate, who is a major character for Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, then we can really confirm that these things we are mentioning of during the time of Jesus are true. That's one. Number two, we have the Caiaphas.
Yeah.
It's a Caiaphas hostary. And the hostary of Caiaphas, this is the high priest mentioned in the New Testament, was also discovered in 1990 in a tomb in southern Jerusalem. The hostary is a small limestone box, which is used for the secondary burial of bones, which was found with six other ossaries in a family of in a tomb, maybe a family tomb. And the inscription on the Caiaphas ossary reads, Joseph, son of Caiaphas.
Mm-hmm.
So this matches the name of the high priest mentioned in the Gospels, who played a significant role in the trial and crucifixion of Jesus. So the discovery of the Caiaphas ossuary provides archaeological evidence of the existence of this biblical figure and sheds light on the burial practices of the time. So the ossuary is now on display also, as we have seen the past one, at the Israel Museum in Jerusalem. That's the second evidence that really these things happened.
Yeah.
Then there is another one they call the Gifat Ha Mifta inscription. This was in the temple partition, and it's an inscription which was discovered in the year 1970 during excavations at an archaeological site near Jerusalem. The inscription is a text written in April on a limestone block and it dates back to the first century. So during the time of the second temple, this thing must have happened during that time, according to backdating technology. So the inscription contains a warning to non-Jews not to enter the inner courtyard of the temple on pain of death. In fact, the text reads, no foreigner shall enter within the forecourt and the forecourt around the sanctuary. Whoever is caught will be responsible to himself for the death which will ensue. So this discovery provided valuable historical and archaeological evidence of the strict regulations and the tensions between Jews and non-Jews during the Second Temple period. And that inscription is now on display in Jerusalem in a museum. So these are some of the, maybe I can add the last one on this episode, the heel bone of a crucified victim. This can also confirm that indeed there was this practice during that period, which is mentioned in the Bible. In 1968, an archaeological discovery was made in a tomb near Jerusalem of the skeletal remains of a man who had been crucified. You understand the way this crucifixion was done, a victim was pinned into a pole. They were pinned with those irons into a pole. And we know when Jesus was crucified, some iron metallic iron pins were were pinned into his wrist and the legs into the pole. We understand the cross of Christ was T-shaped, and he spread his hands. So this one of 1968 this was made in a tomb near Jerusalem of a skeletal remain of a man who had been crucified initially. So the bones belonged to a young Jewish man, evidently, and the remains included an iron nail that was driven through the heel bone. So this indicates that this victim had been crucified, because that is how the victims of crucifixion were treated during that time. So the bone also showed signs of some fracture in one of the victim's leg. This thing, which is in the museum, shows that the bone of this person had a fracture. Which confirms something which we read in the Bible, which was a common practice in the Roman crucifixion to hasten death. Because you understand, when Christ was crucified and those two thieves, when time had come, some few minutes before the Sabbath began, they took precaution that these victims must have died before the Sabbath to be buried. So if one did not die in time, they could break their bones. They could break their bones to hasten their death. So this victim whose skeleton was found in the year 1968, there was fracture. And this archaeological finding provided valuable insight into the practice of crucifixion, not only crucifixion, but the practice, the things they did during the crucifixion in case somebody didn't die in time, that of breaking their bones to hasten their death. So during the time of Jesus, and it also confirmed the biblical account of the punishment. So the bones are now in the museums.
Yeah. So looking at, for example, Mfundisi, we have the Gospels, right, that recount the resurrection of Jesus there. How factual are their events? We understand that, you know, all scripture is inspired by God, but how factual could these ones be? Because people might argue that as much as anything else, but these ones have been written by man, you know. So how factual are the Gospels?
You mean the spiritual, the biblical account?
Yes, the biblical account.
When you talk of the biblical account, like Jesus' death due to crucifixion is also mentioned, and that resurrection. But you see, in the beginning, there was there is this group of the leaders who went against the fact that Jesus had resurrected from the tomb, and they say, in fact, that his body was stolen by the disciples. But there are many things around that. So when they say that the body was stolen, you know, these were not the disciples. These were the leaders. These were the leaders, and even the Roman government, they confirmed that indeed the tomb was empty. So when they confirmed that the tomb was empty, they were trying to convince people around that time that the tomb was empty, not because of Jesus' resurrection, but it was because the body was stolen. So when you go into it, these were people who had the strength, they could do anything. So if the disciples indeed stole the body, then they could have been tortured, because they knew how to torture the victims until they produced the body, which was stolen. So we are interested to know that the tomb was indeed empty. And if these Roman soldiers, the Roman leaders and the priests during that time who were against the resurrection of Christ confirmed that indeed the tomb was empty, then it means indeed Jesus resurrected. Because if the tomb was empty, and this was because of the supernatural powers which removed the stone around the tomb, because that is what is written, for that stone was fastened at that entrance with a seal which could not be broken easily, then it confirms that Jesus indeed resurrected. That's one. Number two, when you look at the disciples, prior to Jesus' resurrection, they were hopeless, very hopeless, because Jesus had died, and in them, indeed, he had died even in their hearts. But after morning of Sunday, you find very rejuvenated disciples who afterwards met with Jesus Christ, and they transformed. In fact, they were transformed. When you look at Peter, Peter was a serious disciple after crucifixion, after resurrection. You find him preaching, and they preached. 3,000 people were converted. Let alone 5,000 were converted. Follow these disciples down the line. They were even ready to be tortured. Some were even put into burning oil, like the likes of John. But even he was even executed and excommunicated into the island of Patmos. This confirmed that Jesus had indeed resurrected, and they were empowered with that resurrection. Apart from that, Jesus appeared to people 40 days before he ascended to heaven. And that confirms that indeed, Jesus resurrected. He appeared to people literally, beginning from the disciples and people who were around the disciples. He appeared to them evidently that he had resurrected from the tomb. And this appearance was not a normal one. Remember an instance where Thomas said, "I will not believe until I've seen and touched the pierced side and the hand, which was also where the iron nail went through." And the Bible confirms that indeed, at a given time, Jesus appeared to them where Thomas was also in number. And Thomas confirmed, he did not touch, but he confirmed that indeed, this is the risen Christ, because he saw that form. And finally, maybe there is this one man we cannot fail to mention. Paul, you understand the Paul and how he was changed from Saul. That is Paul's conversion experience. This Saul was a serious person against Christianity, and he led a wave which persecuted Christians. But he confirms in the book of Acts that he met with the risen Christ. He even asked the question, "Who are you?" Because what was like, "Paul, Paul, why are you persecuting me?"
Yeah.
And Paul was like, "Who are you, my Lord?" And Jesus said, "I am Jesus. I am Jesus. You are persecuting my people." So Paul later confirms, even before the Sanhedrin, when he was being tried, that he met with Christ, the risen Christ. And he's the one who has written more about Christ, because he has authored a number of episodes beyond another person. In fact, even beyond what the disciples have written. So Paul confirms that indeed Christ resurrected.
So, Mpundisi, why do we have, you know, why do skeptics, in fact, question the resurrection of Jesus, you know? And when we are facing, you know, sometimes we can be having lunch, Mpundisi, and people are busy questioning, you know, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How do we now answer as Christians? How do we respond to those questions or the skepticism that comes from the skeptics?
Jesus, when he was on the wild during his 3.5 years preaching, at a given time, he even called the leaders of the church during then who were against him. He called them he called them liars, and he associated them with their father, the devil. So even this skeptics, the people who are skeptical about the resurrection, currently we have them because Satan is alive and Satan is in mission. So when we meet them, let us also know that this is something they have not begun. It has been there because Jesus, we know, we have that great controversy between truth and error. Jesus, as Jesus advances truth, there is a counter who is advancing error. And when he's advancing error, you see, he did not know that Jesus could resurrect from the dead. Resurrection. You know, Paul says, if Christians don't cling to the risen Christ, then our faith is as futile as anything else. It is in vain, because the risen Christ, the resurrected Christ, is the one now who confirms that he could go against sin and he could go against death, who the Bible says the last enemy to mankind. So when we meet to these skeptics, mm-hmm. when we meet them during our normal times, let us understand that the yardstick, the only weapon we can use against them is the Bible, because mm-hmm. Christ's life was prophesied. Christ's life happened on earth, and the prophecy which was given about Christ came to pass. He came. We have the first advent, and then he will come the second time, the second advent, according to prophecy mm-hmm. and according to what the Bible says. So we'll respond to these people using the word and the word alone.
Mm, indeed. So Mpundisi, as we wrap up, my elder there, how does, you know, the resurrection stand up to be the test of modern historical investigations?
Sorry?
How does the resurrection of Christ stand up to the test of modern historical investigation?
You see, this resurrection of Christ is different mm-hmm. from other resurrections, because we have people who resurrected prior to Christ's resurrection. There are those who came to life mm-hmm. through his hand. There are those who came to life during the Old Testament, like the we know that boy of that woman from Shadrach. And the likes of Lazarus, the daughter to Jairus, there are a number of them, they came to be. But their resurrection is different from Christ's resurrection. Those people, they arose and they died thereafter. But Christ's resurrection was different, because you understand, after resurrection, Christ's body will even come to disciples. Christ, will, in that resurrected body, he could come to a room where disciples were without going through the door. So it had that immortality. He wore the body of immortality. That confirms that the resurrection Christ, the resurrection Christians are waiting for, the resurrection we are told of, now the resurrection after Christ, that is when he will come, according to Revelation 21, verse 7, it's different. It will be a resurrection which will change our bodies to immortality.
Yeah. Mm, indeed, indeed. Mpundisi, say, oh, my elder, you are saying Mpundisi, my elder. Thank you so much, you know, for this foundation that we have laid today. I'm going to ask that, can you please close with a word of prayer?
Shall we pray? We thank you, God, because of the time you have given us this day, and we pray that you give us strength to move closer to you, even when we read the word from the word. We pray and believe in Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. Mdala, thank you so much. Till we chat again tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
You are tuned in to Mid Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.